All right. I want to start this with a story. In 1988, there was a guy named Herman Ostry, and he had this barn. All right. True story in Nebraska. This barn was about 60 years old, and there had been some road construction nearby that had caused his barn to start flooding. And Herman, he was, you know, he's a farmer. He didn't have a lot of money, and he was trying to figure out how to move his barn because he wanted to get it out of this flood area and move it up the hill a little bit so he could continue using his barn. So he started talking to contractors, and he said, how much is it going to cost to move it? You know, house moving companies type things. And all of them were just way out of his budget. So Herman and his son Mike sat down, and they said, look, let's figure out if we can move this on our own. So they started adding up board by board how much they thought this barn weighed. They came up with a number, 16,000 pounds. So they start figuring it up. They say, we believe it'll take about 350 people to move 16,000 pounds. So they start working on it. They start building braces. They took they put braces under it and inside the barn and moved the things around so they could get the braces in the right place. And then they had a big party. They invited the camera crews out, and the news was there, and they invited everybody they could think of. And 4,000 people showed up this day to see if 350 people could move a barn. They gathered around the barn, and there was room for 344 people around this barn. There's people inside the barn, all around the outside. Let's look at that next picture. There they are. They have gathered around the barn. And then Herman has a megaphone, and he says, 1, 2, 3, up. And all these people lift the barn. You can go look at the video online. They lift the barn, and they take a few steps, and he says, down, and they let the barn back down. And then he says again, 1, 2, 3, lift. They lift it up again. And little by little, just a few shuffling footsteps at a time, they move a 16,000-pound barn 115 feet to a little higher ground so he would never have to worry about the flood again, and the barn is still there to this day. Now listen, I don't know. Yeah, go ahead. Amen. Herman deserves a hand clap, that's for sure. I don't think I would have ever in a million years thought about lifting a barn with people. But Herman and Mike figured it out. They put the time in, and then they were willing to build the team so that they could do this thing, and it's become legendary in Nebraska. Nebraskans are proud of this. We work together. We have each other's back. We take care of one another. Now, when we all work together toward one common goal, look at what we can do. And that kind of stuff is happening here at Grace Point all the time. I talk to people all the time, and I'm just bragging on us for just a minute. Not me, us. I hear people all the time that will say to me, I was addicted, my family was messed up, I was away from God, I hated church, and the list goes on and on and on. And they'll say something like this, but I feel like I've found a family now. I feel like I've found a group of people who don't judge me and love me, who want to follow Scripture, but are not slapping people around with it, who truly care about each other. When we recognize that when we work together and we love one another, listen, barns are one thing, but lifting lives, that's a whole different thing. Lifting a barn is just about physics. Lifting lives is about miracles. It's the power of the Holy Spirit at work when we choose to work together. And our mission statement around here is very simple, all right? And I want to share that with you. The purpose of Grace Point Church is very simple. Here it is. We're here to help one another grow in Christ. That's all this is about. Our goal is not to have 1,000 people on Easter. If we do, thank you, Jesus. If we don't, thank you, Jesus. All right? It's not about that. It's not about big numbers and big buildings or having slick materials to put out. None of that. None of that. It's very simple. We're here to help one another grow in Christ. In the New Testament, there are 59 times when the Bible uses the words one another together. We've talked about this many times around here. One another. He says, serve one another. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Love one another. It goes on and on and on and on. Now, why is that so important? Because you and I need each other. We can't do this on our own. I can't do it by myself. I got to hang out with a bunch of crazy Christians yesterday all day. All right, listen. We ate way too much. And we had so much fun. And here's the deal. It was Christian fellowship. It was people encouraging one another. I saw it happening all day long. This person's encouraging that person. That person's encouraging this person. I finished the night. I was worn out and I was encouraged. I was encouraged just being around people that realize that God's in control of this thing, not me. That I can lean on the Lord and I can lean on my fellow man. I can one another. We're in this together. And so if we're going to all work together, we got to have the same vision and the same values. Our goal is very simple. We want to help each other grow in Christ. But to develop that culture, I want to share four things with you before we have baptism. Four things that are our values, the things we value. Because everybody has a value system. You have a value system. Your value system might be, your value system might say, I want to spend time with my family. I want to work enough that I can spend time with my family. Or your value system might be, I want to work just enough that I can watch a lot of Netflix. All right? I want to work so that I can build a bigger house. So we all have these built-in values in our life. It may be a value in your life to be at church every Sunday morning. You may go, this is a value. I'm not planning. People don't ask me anymore to plan things on Sunday morning because they know where I'm going to be. That might be your value. So everybody's got a set of values, all right? And we can say those values and we can say we believe in those values, but we have to show it. If we don't show it, it's not really our values. So here's the four things that are the real values of Grace Point Church. Here's number one, or all four of them together. Our core values are love God, love others, have fun, and give excellence. Now, the third one is my favorite one, all right? Love God, love others, have fun, and give excellence. We've talked about these for years, but I felt like this morning, I'm going to be honest with you, early this morning, I felt like we needed to remind ourselves of where we are and what our values are around here. So here's the first one, love God. Mark 12:30 says this, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Love the Lord your God. He's saying love the Lord your God with all your heart. I see people all the time that are trying to jump through religious hoops. They say, I'm trying to stop doing this. I'm trying to stop doing that. Sometimes it's good, okay? But I'm trying to do this more. I'm trying to do that more. And the Bible says it this way. If you love me, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. So it can't be, hey, just go do all the right stuff. It's got to be, let me build a relationship with God and love God, and I will naturally want to do the right thing, right? I love my wife, so I come home after work. She doesn't have to call me somewhere and go, are you coming home tonight? No, I'm going to come home. I love you. I'm going to be home. I'm going to do things that honor her because I love her. And when we're walking with the Lord and we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, then we naturally gravitate toward doing the right things. So he said, all your heart. It's like saying, we know all the songs and the movies and, you know, it's from the bottom of your heart. That's what we say. We're saying from the very core of your being, we love each other. And God is saying, that's what I want from you. I want you to love me from the very core of your being. I want you to understand what I did for you, where I'm taking you, what I'm doing for you, the sacrifice I made for you. I want you to love me. That's what God is telling us to do. He said, I want you to love me with all your soul. That's the part of us that has emotions, that relishes things, that gets excited about things. You know, it's one thing to walk up to your spouse and go, I love you. It's another thing, I love you. It's just a whole different thing. When you put some emotion into it, It matters. Something matters. And God is saying, I want you to love me with that part of yourself. I want you to have an emotion toward me. So when people get a little loud in church, I say, good, bring it on. That just means it's emotion. Loving God with your soul, it's emotion, right? Here's the second one. All your mind, your thoughts, your understanding, your thinking, your intelligence. God is saying, I want you to learn about me. I want you to grow. When I first met my wife, I just loved her because she was pretty, all right? I was like, I just told my buddy, I'm asking her out. I'm gonna get her away from the crowd, and I'm gonna ask her out, right? Because she was beautiful. Now, I have since learned all sorts of things about her that I love. Every bit of it, all of it, I love it, all right? I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. I know she loves vacations, all right? So I know we're gonna take a vacation, all right? That is going to be a value at our house. We're going to put that in the budget, all right? So we're gonna learn about God. And then we love God with all of our strength, with our energy, all right? With our actions, with our gifts, with our abilities, we love God. James chapter 2 says this, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Let's stop right there. Faith by itself is not enough unless it produces good deeds. It's dead and useless. Faith, I can say I trust God. I have all this faith, but God wants me to do something, right? So my love for God shows up in what I do, all right? Here's the second one. Love others. Love others. Now, let's just go ahead and set this one up and say some people are easier to love than other people, all right? So just look at somebody sitting close to you and go, you're almost perfect. Just say that to them right now. See there? Some of you are making a list or something. I don't know what's going on. Careful. He said, love others. There is no such thing as a perfect human being. When we throw away relationships because people are not perfect, then what we're saying is, I'm perfect. I'm so perfect, I can't be friends with those people who aren't. And here's what we say things like, those people are crazy. They got a bad attitude. And we don't know that we're the ones that our family knows is going to cuss people out on the freeway every day. Y'all talked about that last Sunday, right? When we love other people, we're loving imperfect people. Look at what the Bible says, Mark 12, 31. The first commandment was love God with all your heart. And the second commandment is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. He said, I want you to love each other. I want you to love people, imperfect people. John 13, 34 says this, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I've loved you, you should love each other. One of our values around here is that we're going to love each other. I say this quite often. Let's have a conversation. If you don't like something I did, let's talk. Let's just sit down and talk. Let's just figure it out. Let's work it out. There's no reason two Bible-believing Christian people can't sit down and figure out a problem and love each other at the end of it. We have figured out so many ways to divide ourselves in our current world. We divide ourselves by skin color and shared interests and by even the schools we went to. You got short hair and he's got long hair. And we'll find out a million ways to divide ourselves. But at our core, we're still all heart and soul and mind. Get rid of the exterior. And we're the same people. Why are we the same? Because God created every one of us. He created you to look like you and me to look like me. And I don't know why he did that. But he did. And he wants us to love each other. He wants us to be concerned about each other. Now the church, the world has found a million ways to divide itself. And the church is the one place in the history of the world that God created. The defining factor in the church is that we love one another. Not skin color, not language, not place of origin or birth. He said, look, the thing that's going to connect you is that you love each other. As a matter of fact, he said it this way. You'll know they're believers because of the way they love the brothers. That's what the Bible says. You're going to know if somebody's a believer or not by how they love people. So if you're not loving people, I'm just going to let you answer that question. If you don't love people, right, then you probably need to have a conversation with Jesus about that. All right. So we love God, love others, and then have fun. Church ought to be a good time. Hanging out with other believers ought to be a good time. There ain't no hangover after you leave church, all right? You just get to come and enjoy the presence of God, enjoy some people, have a good time. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A cheerful heart. One version of scripture says, laughter is good like medicine. You know, doctors sometimes will prescribe comedy movies for people who are sick. Now, that's the kind of disease I want, where you just go home and make some popcorn. I need you to watch 7 days of comedies, and you'll be better. We know, science has proven that if we will laugh together, enjoy our time together, it makes us healthier. So one of our core values around here is we're going to have fun. We're not going to come in here and act like that we don't know Jesus. We're going to act like we do know Jesus. Philippians 4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I love this. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. You ever say to your kids, go clean your room, and they start walking away and go, no. I said, clean your room. You just got to reinforce it, because the first time it was like they were glazed over and they were heading back to do something else, you know. You're like, they're just, you know, this tall and just shaking their heads. That's what Paul is doing to you and me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Hey, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Have a little bit of joy. If there's no joy in this, what are we doing? A value of all of our lives should be to have joy. You know, I'm going to ask this question. Could it be that joylessness, I don't even know if that's a word. Could it be that joylessness is the most tolerated sin in the church? Just walking around. I believe in Jesus. Bottom lip poked out and mad at everybody and sulking about everything. And I could go on. Anyway, joylessness. Let's don't commit that sin. There's too much to be happy about. All right. And then here's the fourth one. Give excellence. Give excellence. Excellence is how we honor God. 1 Corinthians 10 says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. He said, whatever you're doing, just do it to the glory of God. If you're washing the car, do it to the glory of God. If you're vacuuming the floor, do it to the glory of God. If you're taking food to a homeless person, do it to the glory of God. He said, everything you do, just do it with excellence. Do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. Act like you're washing the car that Jesus drove up in. Act like the person who's going to eat the food you just made is Jesus. And when we do that, we want to give excellence. We want to give excellence. There are important people in our life where we clean the house for them, that we'll go the extra mile for that special guest that is coming. That's what he's asking us to do in our everyday life. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, it's important to know this. We're all on different levels. Your excellence and my excellence are two different things. You're probably way better at stuff than I am. That's all right, because God didn't ask me to beat you. He just asked me to be excellent. He's just asking me to serve. And so we don't compare your gifts and my gifts. You know, I know people that are those five talent people like the Bible talks about. They can do everything. They're just good. Whatever they do, you're like, just let them do it. They're going to be good at it. And the rest of us are like, yeah, I don't really like him all that much, because we're a little bit jealous. Just a little bit jealous, because we wish we had some of that ability. You know, we want, but listen, God's not comparing me with him. God never compares. We're all his children. He loves us all equally. He has a plan for every one of us. Doing your best is very simple. It's just doing your best instead of doing your good. We all know what it means to do something, do enough, right? I did enough. I remember asking this question, or at least I think I remember asking this question to my mom. We had to clean up the house every Saturday morning, and I would say, is it enough? What I meant was, can I stop? I don't want to do anymore. I mean, I don't care if there's a brown thing around the ring of the toilet. I don't want to do it. I mean, you know, it's just enough. Is it enough, mama? You know, and so some of us kind of do that way with God. Is it enough? Did I do enough? You know, God's not asking you if you did enough. Did you do your best? Did you serve him with your best? It's giving excellence is continually getting better. It's giving your maximum compared to your minimum. It's giving God more than what was required. Some of us are keeping score with everybody in our life. We're like, I did this for them. They ought to do this for me. Listen, you're going to be miserable living life like that. That's a miserable way to live. Give and walk away. Many, many years ago, I had an old pickup truck. And a young guy that I knew, and he was struggling, and he had a new family, and he's trying to get to work every day. And I gave him the old pickup truck. Now, don't pat me on the back. It was an old pickup truck, okay? It wasn't worth a lot. I gave him the pickup truck just so he could get back and forth to work. Next thing I know, I said, how's the truck doing? And he said, you know, I didn't have money to pay my rent last month, so I gave my truck to the owner of the apartment complex for my rent. I was like, man, I wanted to just give him a what for, you know? Now you can't even get to work. Why don't we figure out something else? And immediately, I felt like the Holy Spirit checked me and said, did you give it? Or are you still trying to control it? You got to give it up. And I was like, well, that kind of stung, God. I don't need quite that much. It's about saying, I'm just going to give with no strings attached. Give excellence with no strings attached. To serve somebody, not waiting for them to say, thank you so much. If I'm serving to get a thank you, I'm going to be miserable. Because here's what the Bible says about that. If you serve waiting for somebody to give you credit, when you get that credit, then you're paid in full. But if you'll give it, never expecting a thank you, there's treasures waiting in heaven for you then. So when you give excellence to God and you're not waiting for anybody to write it down or pat you on the back, you're just going to do it. He is keeping score in heaven on that stuff. And he wants to bless us then. So our four core values, love God, love others, have fun, and give excellence. That's what sort of sets the tone around here. That's what we're trying to do in everything we do. I just gave you the list of stuff that's coming up. That's kind of where we are. That's what we're about. And all of that is for one reason. I want to read you this scripture. It says this, Matthew 28, Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He said, go and make disciples, I love this, of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. That's our goal. That's the goal of the church. That's why we do all the stuff that's on that list and all the stuff that's not on that list that didn't make the cut for the paper this morning. There's so much of it. It's one simple thing. We want to go into all the world, preach the gospel, share Jesus with people. So in just a minute, we're going to have baptism. I want to invite anybody who doesn't know Christ this morning, I want you to have an opportunity to know him. And around here, we like to say it like this. It's as easy as ABC. To start a relationship with Christ, you have to admit that you've sinned. B is you believe in Jesus. And C, you confess him as Lord of your life. It's that simple. Admit that you sin, believe in Jesus, and confess him as Lord of your life. And that's where your relationship with God starts. And you can pray that in your own words. You can pray that your own way. You don't have to repeat after me. It's very simple. Admit that I've sinned. I know I've sinned. That's easy. I can believe in Jesus. I can believe in Jesus. That's pretty simple. I know who he is. And I confess him. Just say it. That he's the Lord of my life. And start walking with him. Let's all stand together. God is doing some things around here. Listen. Amen. When this many people are coming to Christ and being baptized, there's nothing to say. But thank you, God, that we get to be a part of this and see what God is doing. And I believe that God is doing just a new thing. I don't even know how to explain it. I just believe God's doing a new thing. here at Grace Point, and I'm just happy that I get to be a part of it every week. We're going to pray. If this is your first day today, we would love for you to come by. Just quick meet and greet. We have a gift for you just straight out this door across the hall. We won't make you late for lunch or anything. We just love to meet you and give you a quick gift. Say thank you for being here. Father, bless us as we go and have your way with our lives this week. Help us to put you first and bring glory to you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody.